Morning, Horizon. It's good to be here.
Good morning.
Thank you for the warm welcome. I'm a youth pastor at a church called Hebron, and whenever I say good morning, the youth kids just give me a stare. They're like, I don't know if it's a good morning for them. Maybe they just had a bad breakfast. But as I begin, I'm going to actually give you guys a little gift. I just need a couple of volunteers with steady hands and people that are not going to play around but can kind of hold on to something that's pretty fragile. So I just need 12 volunteers. Any volunteers, please, can I show of hands? 12, I'm going to give all of this out. So just hold on to it. Hold on to anybody else. Anybody else? I know, it's just don't crack it, don't break it, don't eat it. Don't eat it. Just not yet, I guess. Anybody else? I don't know if Pastor John ever gave you guys out eggs, but I'm doing it for the first time. So just hold on to it. Just don't do anything. Don't draw on it. Don't drop it, please. There you go. And one more. I'm going to hold on to one. Anybody else? Oh. Thank you so much. All right. Thank you, all of you, for volunteering. Just hold on to it. Hopefully, the Holy Spirit will speak through me and let you know why, what this is for. But as I begin, I just want to just kind of reintroduce myself just so everybody understands that you can call me George, but my name is Jonathan. I'm married. I have a 4-year-old daughter. I have a 9-month-old son. So obviously, if you've been through the whole child-raising thing, sleepless nights, but life is good because God is good. And I'm just so thankful and grateful to be able to be here this morning to share with this time with you and be blessed. And I hope that in the little ways that I can, through the Holy Spirit, through God speaking through me, that I will be a blessing to this community this morning. So, people of God, would you open up your Bibles and let's read the Word of God together. Today, the Word of God comes to us from Romans. And yes, if you have an egg, please share the Bible with somebody else. Share the Word with your neighbors. And let's read the Word of God from Romans chapter 8, verse 22 to 27 this morning. Chapter 8, verse 22 to 27. And I'm reading from the NIV version. You might have a different version. But let's read the Word of God together. Hear now the word of the Lord. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, to the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, brothers and sisters, I want to start out with a question. When was the last time you guys had an "Are we there yet?" moment? Well, are we there yet? Are we there yet? It's like, because of, I think, one prime example would be the COVID, right? Are we there yet? Are we over the mask yet? Are we over, are we back to any time, semblance of normalcy yet? Because of COVID, I feel like a lot of our summer plans last year and maybe a bit of it this year have been kind of pushed back. And we missed that road travel. We missed that plane flight. And usually at the end of a plane flight, we have those "Are we there yet?" moment. I'm talking about a moment where the plane has arrived, it's parking, it's on its way to stopping, but we're still fidgeting in the chair a little bit. We're like waiting for that belt sign to go off so we can stand up and get our luggage and finally step out of the plane and breathe some fresh air. Are we there yet? And if there are any students here, I know some of you guys are done with your schools, so Some of you are almost there yet. You're feeling that, especially this next week if there's still some school left. Are we there yet? Is summer there yet? Am I a college, am I an adult yet? When is the last, when is my parents finally going to tell me, oh, you can do whatever you want? Yeah. Are we there yet? Right? We're all feeling that to a certain extent. And I'm not going to pretend that I know everything that's going on in your life. I don't. Sometimes I don't know what's going on with my life even. So there are moments in our lives, I know, where we're feeling, are we there yet? Is the pain and the agony, is the weight over yet? Can I finally sigh a sigh of relief yet? Are we there yet moment is knowing that you're not quite there yet, but you know it's near. Relief, rest, and joy is near. Where it's a moment where discomfort and pain kind of coexists with the hopeful anticipation of salvation, of escape, of arrival. According to Apostle Paul in today's passage, this kind of feeling, this kind of moment, are we there yet? This tension is what the whole creation, whole world has been living with. Are we at the end yet? In today's passage, Paul describes it as creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth. If you've ever been to the hospital when you are waiting the arrival of your first child, second child, or third child, you know what that groaning is like. It's a groaning of pain, but it's also a groaning of anticipation. It's a state of pain and agony and tension coupled with this hopefulness. Do we finally get to see him or her? Creation groaning in its suffering. That's what Paul is talking about. Creation is groaning in its brokenness, in its incompleteness. Yet, creation anticipates that there is something more coming than just pain. Creation and all that is in it may not know exactly what's wrong or just who caused its trouble. Or even creation might not understand what the final destination is, what's their relief or joy that they are anticipating. They might not understand. But Paul insists that it somehow knows. It instinctively senses that surely this cannot be how things are supposed to be. This is not the final end. And somehow it senses that God has something better and better days in store for it. Therefore, Paul says creation groans. I don't know when was the last time you guys groaned, but as I was preparing this message, I was thinking, what's a groaning sound? It's definitely not a squeal or a shout of pain. Ah! It's not that. And groaning is definitely not like a little joyful, yee! Groan is somewhere in the middle. It's a mixture of that pain. It's a mixture of that joy. It's a... somewhere in between. Somewhere in between that captures both realities. Somewhere in between that captures both sentiments. And that's just creation we're talking about in general. And then Paul takes a step further and says, on top of this, believers, Christians, we gathered here this morning, we have another depth to our groaning. We have another depth because we have the having the first fruits of the Spirit. That's what he says. In other words, it's simply put, he's saying, if you have the first fruits of the Spirit, you have a special knowledge. You have a special privilege. You know something that the rest of creation doesn't know. Something that God has revealed to you. Christians have a double groan. I made that term up. They have a double groan because, one, they know exactly what's wrong with the world, namely sin. Two, they know what God has done to fix it, salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. But thirdly, not only do they know, because of the Spirit living in them, we hear the call to live as children of God in this broken world. this rebellious world that is waiting for that faithful day of the children of God to be revealed and for Christ to return. Paul uses the image of being like children, eagerly waiting adoption and redemption of their bodies. That's what he specifically says. To describe this awkward, groaning tension, this predicament that believers live in. It's like a child waiting for adoption. It's like knowing that you are already adopted, but you still live in the orphanage. You're not there yet. Your parents haven't come. Your adopted parents haven't come to pick you up yet. So you're waiting. You're in this funk. It's what the Reformed tradition describes it as, to be in this world, but not of it. In John chapter 17, verse 14 to 16, this is what it says. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Lord Jesus speaking. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, this is what it says. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what I'm trying to share with you this morning is what you all know, what you've all heard year after year. By God's grace, you and I, who believe in the good news of Jesus Christ, have already gained citizenship in God's wonderful kingdom. We've already entered in there. God has saved us. God has come, and salvation is here. Can I get an amen? God is good. So much good, so much better than we can possibly imagine. And by His grace, by His atoning sacrifice, we're already there. However, let's be real here. As wonderful as this world is, as wonderful and grace-filled and Holy Spirit-filled horizon is, this isn't heaven yet. We're not there yet. We are all in a collective, are we there yet interlude. And there is this tension in our lives if we heed the call of Jesus to live as His representatives in this world. We live in this tension as long as we are in this world. And please, hear me out. If we truly are people of faith, then you need to feel this tension right now. Like the egg that you're holding in your hand, you need to feel a tension in your life where you don't really fit in this world, but you know that there is a world that is waiting for you. There is a Father waiting for you. There is a happiness and joy. There is a place without tear and sorrow waiting for you. And there is a tension working in your life. As people who have been moved from death to life by the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, as people who have placed their ultimate trust not in our retirement, not in our funds, not in our money or our power or our knowledge or who we are in this world, but as people who have placed their ultimate trust in Jesus Christ and in the promise of eternal life with Him in a world yet to come, we need to live, we need to realize there is this sense of incompleteness in us. This sense of present incompleteness coupled with this future in fulfillment. We need to have an attitude that holds in delicate balance the call to be Christ's ambassadors while also be still active members of society. Sensing and being convinced that we are God's sons and daughters now, but not yet fully. Having the faith of continuing to be hopeful in hopelessness, patient in stressful circumstances, and faithful as Christ was faithful. That is our call. And if we heed that call, if we remember that call daily, there should be a tension in our lives. I'm obviously generalizing, and I believe Pastor John in the coming weeks could elaborate on this a lot more better. I can only generalize because I do not know what is going on in your life. But if we are a people of faith, I'm convinced that there should be attention. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And we, the church, we celebrate and commemorate Pentecost because it is on this day that Jesus has promised to send an advocate for us. It is on this day that Jesus has promised to send an advocate for us, a helper for us to live through this tension, was fulfilled in a spectacular way. Acts chapter 2. Nothing like it. Tongues of fire coming on, the people gathered. And they start speaking in different languages. And you don't know this. I lived and I grew up in Africa. And there is a lot of Holy Spirit experience. But can you imagine that just happening here right now? Every single one of us speaking in a different language, but we are proclaiming the goodness of God. And that's what happened in Acts 2. The first Pentecost. But it did not stop at one event. Pentecost continues to be significant because that same Holy Spirit that empowered the believers back then is empowering me right now, is empowering you, and will continue to empower every single one of us to live as God's people, to remember, to proclaim the good news to the ends of the earth, the good news that, yes, there is a hope in this hopeless world. There is a reason to be optimistic and expectant of the coming days. There is a cause to be faithful, diligent, and loving in a day an age like this. And there is more than enough reason why we ought to live on with this groaning, with this tension, and yet not be worried about the final outcome. There is a grace. I believe that it isn't coincidence that through a friend that I got connected to Pastor John, that I came here this very moment to share this word. And it happens to be Pentecost Sunday. It is the Spirit that brought me here today, and I'm convinced of that. It is the Spirit that is with us. The Spirit aids us. The Spirit advocates for us. And the Spirit leads us to a deeper trust in God in our groaning spirituality. Even when in moments when we do not fully understand. In verse 26, Paul teaches us that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. When you do not know what to pray for in a time of trouble, the Spirit, the Parakletos, the Advocate, the Helper, He helps us in our weakness. And a mystery of today's scripture, today's passage is this. If you read with me, in verse 26, the latter part of it, it says this: the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. The Spirit is not only here to give us strength. The Spirit is not only here to convince us of our salvation, but apparently the Spirit is here to also groan with us, to live and support us in this tension, in this awkward predicament that we lie in. I was wondering how to explain this, how to best illustrate this. And I happened to fall on the egg. Some of you that have volunteered might have wondered, why is he giving us an egg? It's not even boiled egg. It's like you can feel it kind of juggling inside. Like, what is this, right? And I'm finally at a point where I want to kind of explain this. And as I explain this, I want you guys to think about the Holy Spirit. As you were holding on to this egg, especially those that have an egg, I want to ask you, was it a little awkward? Was it a little kind of tense to just kind of hold this raw egg in your hands, not knowing when this preacher is going to say, oh, do something about it? Like, am I supposed to eat it? Am I going to crack it? Like, why does he have this bowl with him? Like, is there going to be like a magic trick? Like, without knowing what's happening, it's natural to be a little tense. It's natural to be a little awkward. One reason why I gave you that egg is I wanted to simulate you living in that awkwardness, even for 20 minutes. Having the Spirit, having and hearing God's word, and trying to be faithful in our schools, in our work, in our family, in this world, it's awkward. It's tense. It's like having this egg and imagine living and walking and doing all the things that you love to do while holding on to this egg. That's kind of what we are called to be. Christians in an un-Christ-like world, holding an egg, fragile and delicate. Those that have an egg, can I ask you to just kind of hold it up so people around you can see it? Now I want to take a step further and say that this egg is like us. The inside of this hard shell, what's it like, guys? What's it like? Soft. Mushy. If you crack open, it's going to spill all over the place and it's going to make a mess. Right? And as you shake it, it's like, what's it like? It's like all jumbled up. It's like all liquid and a little bit of protein and like you don't know what's in it. And that's like us. But you notice the hard shell outside that's holding it together? I'd like to say that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit holds us together. When we falter, when we are weak, the Holy Spirit, God sent us His Holy Spirit so that He would hold us in a day and age where everything is trying to get to us, spoil us, break us apart. And finally, if you just think of the egg, if I do this, it's going to crack, right? But the Holy Spirit is stronger than we can possibly think. I want to encourage some of you guys, don't try it in your seats because you might be so strong that it might actually crack. But gently try this with me. If you have an egg, just using two fingers, don't use your nails. Hold it vertically. Hold your egg vertically, right? Don't pinch on it. Don't use the rest of your fingers, just the fingertips. Try to break it. Just using your two fingers. Try as hard as you can. Try as hard as you can. And people around you might see like, oh, you're faking. Of course it's going to break. No, actually, if you put it vertically and try it as hard as you can, if you break it, you're like the 0.01% of the world. This doesn't break. Oh! Oh no, it broke! Cindy, right? I'm so sorry. All right, rest of you, stop. The Holy Spirit is strong in this place. The point is, thank you for the paper towel. I tried with all 12 of the eggs and it didn't break. She's so much stronger than me. It shouldn't break. It shouldn't break. The Holy Spirit, surprisingly, is so much stronger than we think. Obviously, this example failed. You can put your eggs down now. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. What I'm trying to say here is that the Holy Spirit, God sent the Holy Spirit to help us, to give us strength, to continue to live faithfully. I'm so sorry. And one final thing. I was going to give those eggs as a present, but I'm one egg short. These eggs, like the Holy Spirit, did you have to pay for it? Did we have to pay anything for the Holy Spirit? It was given to us free of charge. We did nothing, and God gave it to us freely. And these happen to be organic eggs. Just hold on to it. Just hold on to it. You hold on to it. In my tradition, in my family, we don't come empty-handed to a place that you come for the first time. I know it's cheesy, but I wanted to give these eggs to you guys. Take it. Take it home. Eat with it. But remember, as you eat eggs, as you see an egg the rest of the week, as you try to crack it, I hope you guys can remember the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit with us. The Holy Spirit around us. The Holy Spirit covering us. The Holy Spirit that is holding us strong. so that there is nothing that we should worry about? I part with these questions. On Pentecost Sunday, as you hear the words of Jesus Christ, as you hear the words of the Apostle Paul that reminds us who the Holy Spirit is and where He is, are you living in reliance on the Holy Spirit each day? Do you realize the tension in your lives? Or are we just living kind of freely and enjoying everything that's happening? And Horizon, how are you? How are we as a community encouraging faith that is not quick to settle in our groaning? Sometimes we feel a little awkwardness and we want to move on quickly. We want to forget it. We want to cover it. But the Christian walk is living in balance with this awkwardness. How are we as a community encouraging our young to the old to live with this tension? And by living in the tension, think and remember Jesus Christ each moment. I pray and I hope that let us be a people that is willing to open up and be vulnerable about our sufferings with one another, and together hold on to the unwavering hope that Paul proclaims in the rest of Romans 8. In verse 38, this is what he says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Verse 18, "I consider that our present sufferings, even though we might be covered in eggs sometimes, are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us through the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord." Would you pray with me at this time? Let's pray. Oh Lord God, it is in your infinite wisdom and it is in your unfathomable plan that you call us as your children. Lord, as we live in this world, as we live as Christ followers, Lord, that call places us in this awkward, tense position in this world. We are not of the world, but you call us in it. In our workplace, in our school, in our families, or you call us to be representatives of you. But Lord, you know us. How weak we are, how forgetful we are. So Lord, on Pentecost, you sent us your promise, your advocate, to live with us, to dwell with us, to help us. We thank you for that grace. We thank you for that free gift. And we hold on to that Spirit today. We hold on to that Spirit tomorrow and this rest of the week. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit fill Horizon up. As we fellowship, as we talk, as we listen, as we grow and mature together, Lord, may we live and may we be victorious. May we be channels of grace in this world that is desperately in need of people, of believers that share, that exude, that show the Holy Spirit living in them constantly. Lord, I thank you. We pray all this in your Son's wonderful name, and all God's people say, Amen.